Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to episode number 12 of the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I hope you're having a great day, whatever you're up to, and you've enjoyed a great week since our last episode. I really appreciate the time you spend with me each week here on the podcast. And if you are enjoying the podcast, I would love it if you shared it with any of your colleagues or friends in business who you think may get benefit from the information we share. If you're able to share that with them, that would be fabulous. I'd love that. So thank you. Now, in today's episode of the podcast, I'm bringing you a special COVID-specific episode, and I have been avoiding, I guess, putting some COVID-specific episodes together because hopefully they won't be relevant for too long. However, I thought it was important today to discuss the issue of returning your employees and your teams to work during and after the COVID crisis, because I think there's a level of uncertainty out there, and we're all a little bit unsure what we can do, what we can't do, how this is all going to work, because of course what we saw is the shutdown of business and the movement to staff working remotely and from home happened very, very quickly. And we all adopted and we've made it work and it's been great. And in some instances, it's obviously worked better than others. And in some organisations, it clearly wasn't possible for employees to work from home or remotely from the workplace. But now we're in a situation where as the restrictions are starting to lift and things are starting to, I guess, return to some sort of normality, for want of a better word, we're looking at, you know, bringing people back into our workplaces. But what does a COVID-safe workplace look like? Because what we do know is that COVID hasn't gone away, and we may very well see spikes and new cases as movement starts to increase around the community. And as employers, we of course have a responsibility to keep our workers safe, and of course anyone that's visiting our workplace safe as well. And how do we do that in these new times and with this new addition to our safe workplace parameters? So in today's episode, I just wanted to walk you through what a COVID-safe workplace might look like, some things you may need to consider and put in place in your workplace to ensure the safety of your employees, and whether or not things will ever get back to the way they were, and whether that's possibly a good thing. So that's what we're going to have a chat about today. So settle in and we'll roll through some of these details and hopefully share some really practical advice that you can implement straight into your workplace. So let's dive right in. So I guess the first thing I really want to chat about is what's normal? What is normal? I don't think that we're going to see workplaces ever return to exactly how they were, certainly not in the very near future, in the next 6 to 12 months and possibly beyond that. What I genuinely think's happened is that the changes we've made and we've had to make as a response to and a result of the coronavirus impacting us were changes that we would have ultimately seen to some extent anyway. For those of us who work in offices or where work can be done remotely, there's been a real pushback from many employers about that being a tactic in the workplace. So for many years, employees particularly have really been keen to have more flexible work arrangements. Flexibility has just become a normal expectation, not a perk anymore. And the requests to work from home have just increased over time because we now have the technology. It's so much easier to do. And of course, we've got issues around commute times in major cities and all of those kind of things. So there's been a push from the employee's perspective for a long, long time, but many employers and I guess traditionally those traditional older school employers really struggled with the concept. And I know even some really innovative smaller businesses have said to me throughout this, but I don't know how to figure out whether they're working while they're at home or what they're doing or how productive they are. And the problem there is not with the employees. The problem there is with the business practices and structures that you don't have measurable things in place where you can measure performance and where you can tell whether people are doing the work because you know how long it should take or you know what results you are looking to achieve. And I'll sidestep there for a moment and say being a results-driven workplace, if that change comes out of this for you, it will be the best change you've made to your business, because focusing on results and not activity is a much more productive and profitable way to run your business. So I think what we're going to see is that businesses that had up until now said, no, we can't do it, they can't work from home, it doesn't work for us, have realized that actually it can work, and it can work incredibly well. So we're going to see some businesses really embrace that, and which is fantastic, because it's going to mean they can attract the best and the brightest no matter of location. You'll no longer be hemmed in to having to employ someone that works close to your office or close to one of your offices around the country. So you'll be able to employ the best and the brightest no matter where they live if you are open to this remote working arrangements, and you've put the structures and the systems in place now, because you've had to, that really will allow you to embrace that moving forward. So I think we're going to see a lot of that, and I think that is awesome. I'm so excited to see that, because I think it's going to make for better businesses, and I think it's going to make for happier employees, and happier employees are more engaged employees. And we all know that that means better productivity, better profitability, and better businesses. So I think that would be fantastic. I also think that employees realize the struggle that the commute was placing on them. We've also got the situation where employees may practically not be able to return directly into the pattern of work they were performing at a workplace like they could before. So for example, we've got situations in many states where schools haven't returned full time yet. I know, you know, where I am located, there's some resistance and some concern around putting children back on the school buses, because, you know, we've obviously got the politicians telling us that, you know, avoid public transport if you can, and because you cannot possibly socially distance on public transport here in Australia. Let's face it, it's just not possible. So how is this all going to work? And that's what I mean when I say we will not return to what was normal. And that is absolutely okay. And the quicker you can be okay with that and find great ways to deal with it, the better it's going to be for your business. So I really encourage you, when you're thinking about returning everyone to work and how that's going to look, to be really lateral in your thinking. Think about what needs to be achieved and how that could be achieved. So think about the possibilities that can be created here. And rather than thinking about we must just revert to our old ways and that's the only way to do it, use this as the time to really consider the possibilities and the options you have in front of you and how you can think laterally about things, because it's going to be needed from a safety perspective. That's, and I'll cover that off a little bit later in today's episode, but from a safety perspective, it may not be practical to have your workplace how it was either. So there's lots and lots of benefits to you being really open-minded right now and thinking about all the ways that you can get your staff back. The other thing you're going to really have to consider is how your team is feeling about this. You will have some team members that cannot wait to get back into the office. They're missing the social interaction. They are overworking from home. They want to get out of their house. They want to be able to get coffee at their favorite cafe close to the office. All of those things that formed part of their day-to-day work that they've been missing, they will be absolutely chomping at the bit. Can't wait to get back to work. Great, fantastic. You'll have others that'll be really reluctant. They've actually quite enjoyed working from home. They've found it very productive. They've found they've had more time to themselves. So that commute time that they used to have, and for many people in capital cities and those traveling into capital cities, especially for work, that can be a huge amount of time that they've just regained over this period. So, you know, it's not unusual for employees to spend well in excess of an hour commuting to and from work each day. So they've now suddenly found themselves with an extra couple of hours a day, and they may have really enjoyed that. They may have been able to invest more time into themselves, their health and their fitness. They may have been able to invest more time with their family and spending time with their children or their partner or their, you know, their friends, their pets, whatever it might be. They may really have enjoyed this newfound time. And those employees may be particularly resistant to coming back 5 days a week to an office that's an hour away from their home. So we really need to be talking to our teams. And like I've said in previous episodes, when we've spoken about these times, talking often and early is critical. Don't dump it on them and say, we're all going back to work 5 days a week at the office from next Monday. That's not going to go well for you. Talk early and talk often. And most importantly, listen to what they have to say. really hear their concerns. Some of them may be scared. They may very well be fearful of the virus, although it's, you know, obviously we're in a much better situation here in Australia than lots of places around the world and even than we were a few months back. Staff may genuinely be concerned. So you're really going to need to listen to their concerns. They may have concerns just generally about contracting the virus, but they also may have concerns because they have a relative who is, probably a little bit older or perhaps someone that lives with them that has a compromised immune system. So for them, the risk of getting the virus is very real and very scary because the impact to that family member or that person close to them could be really catastrophic. So those concerns absolutely need to be taken into consideration. So it won't be a one-size-fits-all approach for you. You'll have some staff that are running back into the office as soon as they can. You'll have others that have genuine concerns that they need to work through and others where it will actually be unsafe for them to do so. So you're going to need to really think about being flexible with all of those different circumstances. The other thing, of course, you might want to look at is if you've got staff all needing to travel in at the one time, is that logistically a great idea right now? We're being told, no matter with all these restrictions lifting, that we must maintain our social distancing. So we must keep a meter and a half apart from anyone that isn't in our household. Now, that's going to be difficult if you've got everyone arriving at once. If you've got lifts in the building that you work in, how's that going to work if everyone's turning up at once? It's not going to be possible. So you really need to think about, even if you do have to have staff coming into the physical work address because that's how the work needs to be done, which will be the case for many of you, look at your working hours. Can you stagger your working hours? Can you stagger the days of the week that people are in so they've got a mixture of working from home and working in the office? And can you stagger the different locations so that you've got not everyone arriving in the one office at 8:30 a.m. in the morning, clogging up the public transport, the parking, all of those things, and they can't possibly maintain that social distancing when they're doing that. So I think what we've really realized is that the thoughts that we had that the old ways we do things were the only way are absolute garbage. We can definitely do things new, better, different ways, and it's going to be fantastic to see what that kind of innovation can really bring to your workplace in the future. So I touched a little bit earlier on what to do if you've got some resistant staff. So some employees who aren't particularly excited to get back to work in the office or back in their old workplace. So they're happy to keep working, but just don't want to return to the location that they previously worked from. And I guess this applies particularly to the employees that don't have a very obvious or direct reason for that concern in your mind. So it's probably very easy for you to see why there would be concerns if you had an employee who was living with a grandparent or an elderly parent, or living with someone who had a compromised immune system. You could really very quickly understand their concerns and you probably need to protect them a little bit more than the general population. However, there's going to be employees that really sit in the middle that have some real concerns and they're going to want that answered. And I think this is where you're going to really need to listen and hear what their concerns are and really get to the bottom of them, because often what they first say is not the real heart of the concern. So really seek first to understand what's going on underneath, what's bubbling beneath the surface, to understand where this fear or this concern or this resistance is coming from. So as I mentioned, you may have situations where they're fearful of the illness, which is, valid. It's been awful. So you've got to really listen to that and really talk them through your plans to keep them safe so that they can feel safe and assured if they need to come into the workplace. Now, we're going to talk in a little moment about what keeping things safe actually practically looks like. But from your perspective, it's going to be about reassuring the employee that you're doing all things you can to protect them and talk to them about how we're minimizing the risk and how they can do their part to minimize the risk as well. And it may mean traveling in a different mode of transport to get to work, so driving instead of catching the train, for example. It may mean that they are looking to change their hours so they're not with the peak group of people coming into work. So really talk to them about how you can work together to minimize their concerns. Because what we do know is that for an employee to feel engaged in the workplace, they need to feel safe. And, three, 4, 5, 6 months ago, the feeling of safety, we all thought, well, if they're working in a fairly safe workplace, they feel safe. But it's not just about the physical safety. It's also about the feeling that goes with that. So do I feel protected? Do I feel that I've got someone that will listen to me? That's absolutely key to their feeling of safety. So really working with them to come up with a solution that works for both you and them around how this can work for you moving forward. And you may need to hear reference some legislation. So we know that the Fair Work Act, for example, has been amended around some COVID directives, particularly if you've got staff who are receiving JobKeeper. But even outside of that, we've got some new structures in the Fair Work Act dealing with our COVID environment. Obviously, we've also got the health principles that have been applied and the directives that have been given. And we might need to be across those as well. Plus, also, of course, you've got your workplace health and safety legislation, which is state-based, although there is a government body, Safe Work Australia, that are trying to pull together a more nationalised approach, but it's still very much a state-based system. And so you've got the requirements under those state-based legislation around keeping your staff safe. So if you've got staff that are concerned and resistant, talk to them about it. Really just get to understand what the concern is, reassure them of their safety and the steps you are taking to minimise that and the steps you can take together so that they have that feeling of safety. Now, outside of the safety concern, you're going to have some staff that are resistant because they've really loved working from home. They've enjoyed it. And that's not a bad thing, because what might happen is if you force them to come back into the workplace and they can practically work from home, a couple of things are going to happen. One is you're creating an unnecessary safety risk, because right now the instruction is if your staff can work from home, if it works for you and it works for them, then you should allow that to continue happening. So that's the first thing. But also you're going to have a pretty disgruntled and disengaged employee, because they know they can work from home and they've proven to you that they can be relied upon to work from home, yet you're making them come back into the office, and in their mind, they won't be able to see the point. They'll really struggle with this. And I think this is where we're going to see a lot of tension in the workplaces over the next sort of 6 to 12 months. Because if employees have proven that they can do it from home and they want to do it from home, and there's no barriers to them being able to do that, I think we're going to have to really think about why we're saying no to those things, because I think it's absolutely going to be appropriate. Now, of course, you may want them to come in, once a week for a meeting, but we've also proven that meetings don't have to be face-to-face as well, don't forget. But there might be a reason that you want them in the office one day a week, and so that wouldn't be unreasonable to request them to do that. But really, if their heart is loving working from home and they are productive and they are efficient, forcing them unnecessarily to attend the office just because that's how you want it now might actually do you more harm than good in managing those people. So really listen to their concerns and also listen to what can be achieved if they are enjoying the current arrangement and how you might be able to come to some sort of mutual agreement about how this is going to look moving forward as well. The next thing I want to talk to you about, though, is the more practical implications about what a COVID-safe workplace looks like. So what are your obligations as the employer in regards to providing a workplace that is safe for your employees? And as I mentioned, we're all still bound by the workplace health and safety laws that were already in place pre-COVID, and they require us to provide a workplace that is safe and healthy for our employees. The only thing that's changed is that we've got a new risk in every workplace everywhere that didn't exist several months ago, and that is COVID-19. So we now have an obligation under our existing workplace health and safety laws to consider COVID-19 as a risk to health and safety and to take measures to minimise and mitigate the chances of our employees and our teams and our visitors to our workplaces being exposed to COVID. So how can you do that? Well, I mean, I think the key thing that we've got to look at here is the directive currently from the health professionals is to maintain social distancing. So to maintain that 1.5 metres apart, no matter what we're doing, unless we're with members of our household. So in your workplace, that would be one of the first things I would look at in that. Is that possible? Is it plausible? What might you need to move or change around to make that happen? Also consider how the employee is travelling in and out of the workplace in regards to being able to maintain that as well. So as mentioned earlier, if they've got to get in a lift, you don't want 100 people arriving at your workplace at once if they've all got to get in the lift at the same time, because there is no way they'll be able to socially distance. If you know that your workplace is not particularly accessible with driving and parking, so you're in a CBD, for example, and so therefore they're relying on public transport, how can you change the hours that they work to minimise the chance of them being exposed to not being able to appropriately keep themselves apart from others around them? So really just think about that. So it might be changing rosters. It might be changing who's in at once. So if you've got a workplace where you're in quite tight together, so that 1.5 metres is going to be really tricky to maintain, then you might need to look at, okay, we're going to have 50% of staff in on each day. So you have a bit of a roster system where you've got some staff in, but every second desk basically they're in. So you're going to have to really think about how that's going to look for your workplace. But of course, with that, even with social distancing, we must consider safety beyond that as well. So if you've got a workplace where staff are needing to lift heavy items or support each other in terms of physically carrying products or moving products through a manufacturing plant, 1.5 metres may be impossible in regards to actually being able to produce the product in a safe and appropriate way. So that may not be a possibility, but what can you do to just minimise the contact? So make it as far apart as you can. And it may be providing extra protective equipment outside of your usual PPE for your employees to help keep them safe. It may be gloves that you're providing. It could be face masks. So think about if you can't logistically keep the employees a meter and a half apart because it would be unsafe to do so, then what else can you provide to help minimize the potential spread of the illness if it was to arrive in your workplace? So think about the extra PPE you may need to be getting in here as well. So a COVID-safe workplace really looks like a workplace where we've got a lot more distance between ourselves than we used to, where we're limiting the contact, no handshakes, all of those things are out, we know that, and that's the same at a workplace. So you might find when your staff are returning and, you know, they're going to have meetings again, which feels like a time of the past, doesn't it? It's natural for all of us when we attend a business meeting to extend our hand for a handshake, and that's off the table now. So you may actually need, I know this sounds silly, but you may actually need to remind your staff of that when they get back in because they've been out of the day-to-day, you know, working in their little isolation huts at home for so long that those things actually may have just sort of fallen out of their mind that they need to change how they behave in a meeting or in a workplace setting. So you might want to give some tools and resources to your staff in regards to assisting them with that. And I can tell you, and I'll put it in the show notes here today, but Safe Work Australia has some excellent resources on their website, with including things like posters and signage that you can download to stick up in your workplace. So these will be great things that as you've got more and more people returning into the workplace that you can put up around all the appropriate places, just as a constant reminder that we're in a different time now and that we need to change our behaviour to make sure everyone is safe in the workplace. Of course, the other thing you're going to have to implement is additional cleaning, and that's just a non-avoidable in any workplace. So you're going to have to really think about the availability of hand sanitizers, appropriate hand washing stations and equipment, additional cleaning of the work surfaces, particularly any work surface that is ever shared, you know, so certainly in a manufacturing environment that's going to happen, really minimizing the opportunity for people to mill around as they may have done previously. So if you've got quite a big lunchroom or kitchen area, it may be removing the opportunity for people to congregate in there because that would be an unsafe environment, particularly if it's, you know, a room where there's a big table but it's not a massive room. You know, people might have milled in there at lunchtime, you know, 10, 15, 20 people at a time, that's really not going to be viable right now. So it may be moving that, you know, furniture out of there so it's not a temptation for your employees as well. So really looking at all those touch points where employees usually would be quite in close contact and removing the temptation more than anything, but also putting up instructions and information as to the new way of doing things as well. So as I said, Safe Work Australia, they have some excellent resources, so you can go there and download those, stick them up around the place, and ensure that you've got that there. Now, the other thing that I'm going to encourage you to do is really start to make a plan. Now, I know that planning is sometimes boring, and particularly when I start talking about documentation, you probably yawn and nod off and think I'm talking about boring things again. But having a COVID-safe return to work plan is going to be really important, largely because this is new to all of us. So having a plan helps you as the business owner and the leader to just have some clarity around what you're doing. But it's also just going to really help as we start to reduce these restrictions over time, that we'll have a plan for how in the workplace we start to reduce those as well. So there's a resource that I'll also put a link to in the show notes, which is a COVID safe plan. And it's a bit of a tick box. It's not all encompassing. It doesn't cover all of the WHS requirements of your particular state. It certainly doesn't touch on any of the industrial relations laws with the Fair Work Act, but it's a nice, simple tick box style, plan that you can go through to help really develop what your particular, your own individual COVID-safe return to work plan is going to look like. Now, the fundamentals of a COVID-safe return to work plan really hinge on the National COVID-19 Safe Workplace Principles, which of course were put out a little while ago now, I think back in April. Now, they're like many of the principles that we've seen the government release throughout this period. They're a little bit broad. I don't want to use the word vague, but they are a little bit broad because how they apply in each situation will be slightly different, but they basically give us the foundation or the framework to build upon. So the safe workplace principles include things like, you know, all workers have the right to have a safe workplace environment. Obviously COVID-19 is a unique situation, this pandemic, so it just creates some unique situations we need to look at. To keep our workplaces healthy and safe for all of our workers, we have to work in consultation with our employers and their representatives. So if you've got union involvement, you need to get those guys involved as well to ensure that we're coming together to come to a mutual agreement as to how we can make sure all the control measures are in place to ensure we've got a safe workplace. As our restrictions are gradually relaxed, we must work together to adapt to that. And as I said earlier, this is going to change. It's going to be an evolving situation. We have a responsibility individually as business owners, individually as employees, and as people in a society to go to work and act in a way at work that is COVID safe. So we have to apply to those advice that is being given to us to keep a meter and a half apart, for example. We have to prepare as business owners for the possibility that we may have a COVID diagnosis in our workplace. So you're going to have a plan in place for what you would do if that situation was to happen. And there's, you know, processes around that as well. Of course, you've got to continue to comply with your existing state-based workplace health and safety legislation. And ultimately, you've got to follow the guidance being given by the government at that time in relation to what we can and can't do in a COVID-safe environment. So as I mentioned, those principles are broad and they just provide the foundation. They don't give us too much detail. But what does give us some detail is some of the documentation that I explained earlier that's available on the Safe Work Australia website. So there's some great checklists there that I'll put in the show notes for you as to some of the things you can do to ensure that you are creating a COVID-safe workplace. So the number one thing right now is if staff can work from home and it works for the business, so they don't actually need to be in the office to do their work, they should continue working from home. Now, if your staff are working from home, I want to ensure that you've done all of the right ergonomic assessments and you've made sure you've got a safe environment for them, which you've probably already done, but it might just be worth revisiting now that this is going to be more ongoing. The next thing, if they can't work from home, is to ensure the physical distancing maintains. So that 1.5 metres and those posters around the place, moving workstations, moving furniture so that 1.5 metres can be maintained at all times. And really talking to workers about avoiding situations where they're going to gather en masse. So avoiding meetings. Meetings can still happen via Zoom or over the phone where possible, particularly if it's a larger group. Reviewing any deliveries you've got coming into the workplace because, you know, you've put all of those on hold for now, obviously. So making sure you can get contactless deliveries in. And really you can empower your team here for someone in the team or your team generally to be responsible for helping you uphold this. So really involve them in it so that it's not all about you saying, hey, we can't do that, but they're being part of the solution as well. As I mentioned earlier, making sure you've got all the hand washing stuff in place. So making sure you've got soap stocked up, you've got sanitizer wherever you're going to need to have it, and just making sure there's ways to limit contact with other people, cashless transactions we've seen, all of those kind of things are important. Some of the other things you're going to want to do, obviously, is, as I said earlier, increase your cleaning. So it may be that, particularly if you've got areas where they're high touch, so kitchens and those kind of things, you've got regular cleaning happening more than once a day. Talking to workers about wearing gloves and using, you know, appropriate wipes and all of those kind of things to wipe over their surfaces. Making sure your employees aren't sharing equipment wherever it's possible. So everyone's got their own stapler and sticky tape and all those things that they need, and we're not sharing that kind of equipment. And I guess more than anything else, just be really conscious of all the symptoms. You know, that's the obvious one, isn't it? So if your employees have a sniffle they're sick, they're showing any signs, they need to stay home. And I know that that's going to be a tough one because they're used to soldiering on. I mean, that's what we do. I think that's a bit of an Aussie thing. We, you know, absolutely, we've got a cold, we'll just go to work. That's fine. Pop some cold and flu tablets and off we go. But not this year. That's not what can happen, particularly right now as we're heading into, you know, our traditional flu season. If there's any symptoms, they have to stay home. If they turn up to work with a sniffle, send them home. They just can't be here right now. And of course, you know, the current encouragement is anyone with any symptoms, particularly in the states where we're still testing at a really high rate, needs to go and get tested. And you need to encourage that of them. Now, I know many of you have been wondering about the COVID Safe app as well. And unfortunately, even if it's a company-owned mobile phone, you cannot make your staff download the app. It's against the law. It's very seriously against the law and can result in some really hefty fines. So you can encourage them. You can tell them that you would like, you know, that you do it and you think it's a very good idea and, you know, you would love it if everyone in the workplace did it, but you cannot make them do it and you can't treat them adversely or negatively if they choose not to. So that's just an important one to be aware of because I know many of us, you know, if you think it's a great idea, you probably really want to ask your staff to have it downloaded, but unfortunately it's not something that we can ask them to do. So those are some of the practical things that you can do to ensure a COVID-safe workplace. And as I mentioned, I'll put the links to all of those in the show notes today. But it's really about opening your eyes, looking around your workplace and considering all of the contact points that your staff are going to have with each other, with groups of people, and of course with their workplace surfaces and figuring out how you can really minimize all of the potential ways that transmission may in fact occur. And I know it seems like such an additional layer that you've already got a busy day, you've already got, you know, so many hats on and so many things, you know, plates spinning in the air that this is just one more thing. And it is, absolutely, but it's a really serious one and it's something that we all need to take responsibility for. So if that's you and you're thinking, oh my goodness, another thing, get one of your employees to head this up. Give that to them as a project and let them be the one to do all of the running around and just check in with you on the requirements. But it doesn't have to be you that does this. You've just got to make sure that it happens. So I guess that's a message I'd like to leave you with. As the employer and as the business owner, it's your responsibility to make sure it happens, but that does not mean it's your responsibility to do it all yourself. So feel free to delegate, get others involved, really involve your team. And if you work together, you'll have a really safe return to a COVID-safe workplace. Now, I know that was a lot of information that we've gone through today, and it may feel overwhelming, but as I mentioned, you need to make sure it's done, but it doesn't all have to sit on your shoulders. As I mentioned as well, there's a lot of great resources. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put links in the show notes to all of those. But I'll tell you what, if you'd like me to make it even easier for you, what you can do is send me an email directly. Let me know that you're after the resources and I'll respond with a personal email to you with all of them together so you can have them all in one email. So my direct email address is Christy, K-R-I-S-T-Y, at thefootprintgroup.com.au. So Christy at thefootprintgroup.com.au. If you send me an email and say, send me the COVID resources, I will respond with a personal email to you with all of those resources in one email to save you sort of going everywhere and getting all of those. If you want to let me know what industry you're in, I'll even send you some industry specific stuff that you can download for free and get access to all of that. So you can just email me directly, Christy at thefootprintgroup.com.au, and I'll send that to you directly. The other place you'll be able to find those resources is over on the show notes for this particular episode. So if you go to peoplepoweredbusiness.com, click on episode 12, and you'll be able to find all of that there. So I hope you've really enjoyed that episode. It's giving you some just practical ideas as to how you're going to be able to implement some COVID-safe practices in your workplace. And I really encourage you to talk to your staff early and get them on board with your plan, return to the workplace as well. Now, in next week's episode, we're going to be talking about modern awards. And I'm going to walk you through how to tell which modern award or modern awards, because there's often plural, apply in your workplace, and the particular areas of each modern award that you really need to pay close attention to. Now, many of you know which modern award applies to you, but what I am going to share with you is that they're currently going through a 4-yearly review of all of the modern awards, and a lot of them are having a lot of changes. So I'm going to recap some of those changes in next week's episode as well. So next week, it's all about the modern award system. But in the meantime, if you'd love to connect with us, head over to Facebook, to People Powered Business Facebook page. Like the page, share any comments you've got there. If you've got questions or topics you'd love me to answer, that would be a great place to do that as well. And for today's show notes, go over to peoplepoweredbusiness.com, episode 12. Fantastic. Have a great week, everyone. I look forward to speaking with you again next week on the next episode of the People Powered Business Podcast.